Okay, we are back, and so are you. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Stream Strategy Fantasy Soccer Podcast, brought to you by me, Cal, and that guy, Chuck. We're the hosts of Good Hockey Podcasts, brought to you by PuckLegends.ca. Charlie, let's jump right into the schedule. After the All-Star Weekend, teams are back in play. And you have compiled a nice list for us of who is good and who is not. So let's just start off with the schedule. Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday are your on nights. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday are your off nights. So this is the most typical NHL schedule that we see. Monday, 2 games. Tuesday, 7. Wednesday, 6. Thursday, 7. Friday, 4. Saturday, 8. Sunday, 4. So overall, not a very busy schedule in general. There should be opportunity to get players in on pretty much every night. Okay, let's look at the really good schedules ideal for streaming this week. First off, the Carolina Hurricanes. They have 4 games, including 1 off night and a early week back-to-back on the Monday-Tuesday. We also like the Dallas Stars, who have 3 games, and they're all off nights. We also like the Montreal Canadiens, 4 games, 1 off night, a Saturday-Sunday back-to-back. So keep an eye out for that, because that Saturday is like the most difficult day so far. But if you have an opening, Montreal might actually be a really good look for this week. Ottawa Senators, 5 games, 2 off nights, back-to-back Monday, Tuesday, as well as Saturday, Sunday. And the Canucks have 3 games, 1 off night, back-to-back Tuesday, Wednesday. Capitals, 3 games, 1 off night. So the Senators, the Canadiens, and the Devils, and the Hurricanes are probably the best schedules of this week. Other notable teams: Arizona has 3 games, Boston has 3, Columbus has 3. The Oilers have 3 games, including 2 off nights and a Tuesday, Wednesday back-to-back. Islanders, 3 games, Pittsburgh, 3 games, Toronto, 3 games, and the Winnipeg Jets, 3 games. Bad schedules: the Anaheim Ducks with only 1 game, and it's on a Friday. Florida Panthers have 0 games, LA Kings, 0 games, New York Rangers, 0 games, San Jose Sharks, 0 games. So drop any streamers that you have from those guys, but make sure you're holding on to the players that are not yet under replacement value.
Yeah, it's an interesting week with the low amount of games that we have in these 5 teams that only have 1 or less games. But we do have some value here, I think. So jumping right in to the Carolina Hurricanes. Jesper Fast, talking about him for a long time. I'm going to keep talking about him as long as he's on that first forward line. He's also on the second power play unit. He's got no PK time. Season ranking of 347, rostered in 1% of leagues. Seth Jarvis has been bumped down to the second line, but he still gets second power play deployment with no PK time. He has a season ranking of 338, rostered in 4% of leagues. And finally, from the Carolina Hurricanes, I like Brady Shea, who's playing on their second defensive line. Unfortunately, no power play time, but he does have second PK. Currently rostered in 24% of leagues with a season ranking of 555. It's going to be a lot of opportunity to pick him up. He's a bit of a peripheral specialist, I would say. And I always like including peripheral specialists in the stream strategy for you folks.
Yeah, definitely. We're trying to find value in a variety of different areas, and it's usually the most difficult to find goal scorers and guys who can get assists. So sometimes the Brady Shays and even the Martinooks I saw you had on the list, Charlie, maybe more of hit and block kind of guy, might be useful just because of the volume.
Yeah.
What do you got next?
From the Dallas Stars, Denis Gurianov is on their second forward line, second power play unit with no PK time. He's got a season ranking of 268, rostered in 11% of leagues. He is also playing with Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin. Tyler Seguin is rostered at about 78%, so I chose to leave him off the list. Jamie Benn, though, rostered at 57%. He has a season ranking of 179, as I said, on that second forward line, second power play unit, and the second PK unit. Both of these guys, Gurianov and Ben, they've been hot recently, and Seguin's been playing well, so I think it's worth taking a look at either of these two. Also, Esa Lindell, he's playing on their first defensive line. No power play unit, but their first PK as well. Season ranking of 299, rostered in 21% of leagues. And finally, Ryan Suter, who I've been talking about for a long time. I just feel like he's always a good opportunity to get to stream. He's playing on their second defensive line, second power play unit, and second PK unit. Season ranking of 318, rostered in 19% of leagues. Just got great deployment on every unit for this team.
Yeah, I really like Lindell. I'm going to keep an eye on him. Even though he might be a little over-rostered at 20% for his public league season ranking, he certainly has a ton of value in leagues like the Good Fantasy Hockey League, where we are tracking blocks and hits and shorthanded points. So this deployment is quite valuable because shorthanded points are really rare to come by, and Roope Hintz as your first penalty kill guy, that's pretty good. That's like taking a flyer at a TJ Brody and hoping that he can pass up to Marner, or last year with Hyman, that type of thing. So I see some value here with Lindell and Suter.
I agree. Moving on to the Edmonton Oilers. I'm going to start off with Kyler Yamamoto, who Daily Faceoff still has on that first line with Evander Kane and Connor McDavid.
Yeah, last update, February 2nd. As a disclaimer, because sometimes Daily Faceoff has led us astray from the truth, and we certainly hear it in the comments. So please be aware that this is our resource center, and this is a disclaimer. February 2nd was the last time it's updated. So if you're going to look at Kyler Yamamoto, who actually looks quite comfortable on this line with McD and Kane.
Yeah, I agree.
Just make sure that you're paying attention.
Regardless, assuming he's still up on that first line, Kyler Yamamoto is a great streamer for this week. As we were saying, the Edmonton Oilers have the back-to-back early on in the week, as well as two off nights. Also, Evan Bouchard has a season ranking of 194, rostered in 60% of leagues. It's going to be tricky to get him because of that, but he does have that first defensive line deployment, first power play unit, and second PK unit. Finally, Jesse Puljujärvi. He's back up on that second line. Seems like he might stick around there. He's also got second power play deployment, no PK deployment, season ranking of 149, rostered in 36% of leagues. Honestly, he can be a hold if you can pick him up in whatever league that you're in. As a streamer, he might do really well and develop some chemistry alongside of Hyman and Dreisaitl or Nugent Hopkins.
Yeah, I'm not too big on Puljujärvi, but your argument makes sense.
The Montreal Canadiens do have a good schedule this week, so I felt we could include a couple streamers for them. Nick Suzuki is playing on their first forward line, first power play unit, no PK time, rostered in 67% of leagues with a season ranking of 246. Little over rostered, but if you can find him, I think it's an opportunity to stream for this week. Same sort of argument for Tyler Toffoli, season ranking of 237, rostered in 46% of leagues. He's on their first forward line, first power play unit with no PK time. Josh Anderson, you might want to take a look at if you need some hits. He's playing on their second line, second power play unit with no PK time. Got a season ranking of 433 and rostered in 15% of leagues. And finally, Alexander Romanov. If you need a defenseman streamer and you need a hits streamer, this is a great player to look at. He gets about 4 hits per game. Season ranking of 415, rostered in 10% of leagues, and he's currently playing on their first defensive line, so he's got some great deployment. No power play time, but he does get second PK unit time.
Charlie, I would just like to take a quick break to shout out pucklegends.ca. They have some fantastic t-shirts. No longer do they have this Austin Matthews t-shirt, because the NHLPA says that they can't make shirts like that, but they do have this really cool David Eras shirt, who beat the Toronto Maple Leafs. They have this really cool Mario Lemieux shirt, and recently released a Gordie Howe. Personally, I like the look of this Gordie Howe on the beige here.
Yeah,
it works very well. I've also seen that it works really well with the green. There's tons of cool stuff to check out. Matt Sundin, Doug Gilmour, Pavel Bure, Wayne Gretzky, Willie O'Ree.
Puck legends right here, folks.
Yeah, you can use the code GOOD, all caps, for free shipping, no tax. And yeah, I think that means you can get it to your door for $25.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with that.
Good quality shirts. Everyone that's got them has said they're really nice quality.
That is what you want to hear. Great feedback from everybody.
Very, very durable. And I let the print quality is fantastic as well. I washed this shirt a few times and it hasn't
started to crack or anything like that.
No, Charlie, let's jump back into the stream strategy. Where are we at?
We are at the New Jersey Devils, and I'm going to start off with Yegor Sharangovich, who's playing on their first line, second power play unit, no PK time. He's got a season ranking of 490, rostered in 6% of leagues. That first line deployment is pretty much all that I'm looking at here for Sharangovich. There's nothing too exciting about him individually, but playing with Jack Hughes and Jesper Bratt, there's a lot of opportunity for some points there. Second up, Nico Hischier. He's got a season ranking of 297, rostered in 25% of leagues. He plays on their second forward line, first power play unit, and first PK unit. Hischier's a well-rounded player. Got great deployment, playing on pretty much the top line for everything for the New Jersey Devils. And then finally, Damon Severson. Due to Hamilton's injury and extended injury, he's playing on their first defensive line, first power play unit, and first PK unit. He's got a season ranking of 307, rostered in 26% of leagues. I wouldn't expect too many points out of Damon Severson, but a couple hits, shots, and blocks a game seems more than reasonable with this deployment.
Charlie, we released an episode for the Good Hockey Podcast talking about the annual Leafs need to trade for defense episode.
Yes.
And Damon Severson was one of, also known as Damon Severson, was one of the players that we had heard rumors about. And after the eye test, that being me watching the back-to-back between Toronto and the Devils last week.
I know what you're going to say.
He looked horrible.
I agree.
He looked horrible.
He did.
And that could just be the best players running over a guy, but I don't know. He looked real bad. So he didn't pass the eye test for me. I really hope they don't trade for him, but it seems like they're only interested in trading for a defense with some term anyway, so it's that kind of crosses him off the list, unless there's like a sign-and-trade, but I really don't think he's the guy now. Like, that was embarrassing.
No, especially in that second game, it looked really bad. But moving on to the Ottawa Senators, who have a five-game week. That is nuts. I think that's the first time this has happened this season. I'm going to start off with Tim Stützle.
Nah, that definitely happened before.
A five-game schedule?
I can't name you one time when it actually did, but I would find it crazy to think that there was never... Just because of how rescheduling has gone so far.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Actually, maybe I'm so stupid and the rescheduling would have kind of guaranteed that there's no five-game schedule, but there's going to be a bunch coming up.
That would also make sense. We'll have to look into that a little bit more. But
yeah, let's just go through these streamers.
But looking at the streamers here, Tim Stützle is playing on their first line as center. He's also on the first power play unit with no PK time. That's while Norris is out with an injury. He's got a season ranking of 263, rostered in 40% of leagues. Tyler Ennis also on that first line with Batherson out. He's also on the first power play unit, no PK time. He's got a season ranking of 360, rostered in 6% of leagues. Alex Formanton, season ranking 362, rostered in 6% of leagues, plays on their second forward line and their first power play unit, their first PK unit as well. Formanton has been really hot recently. He has something like 14 points in his last 16 games. Alex Formanton, while he's streaking right now, is probably a good idea to look at him, especially with the five-game schedule. Going to look at Matt Murray with a season ranking of 212, rostered in 18% of leagues. He's their starting goalie, so he should get three starts with the five games over these 7 days, plus two back-to-backs. He has been much better in the last couple of weeks than he was at the start of the season. So take a look at Matt Murray. Use your own discretion here because it is the Ottawa Senators, and usually the games that they win are high scoring for both teams. But Matt Murray could be a good streamer for this week. And finally, Anton Forsberg, season ranking of 228, rostered in 9% of leagues. He's the backup goalie. If you don't want to take a chance on Matt Murray, Anton Forsberg has been fairly consistent, and he's been great for the Ottawa Senators this year.
What about the Vancouver Canucks? What do we got going on there? Any value?
Over there, we got some value. Mainly, we're going to be looking at a couple of their defense, but Tanner Pearson, season ranking of 221, rostered in 5% of leagues. He's playing on their second line with no power play or PK time. Not exactly the ideal streamer, but he does get some good chances, and he plays a bit of a more physical game, so you should be looking at some hits and blocks from him. Tyler Myers, with a season ranking of 280, rostered in 18% of leagues. He's on their first defensive line, second power play unit, and first PK unit. If you need hits and blocks, you better be picking up Tyler Myers with this deployment this week. He is a specialist in hits and blocks. And finally, from the Vancouver Canucks, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, season ranking of 316, rostered in 42% of leagues. Playing on the first defensive line, first power play unit, and first PK unit. 42% might be a little over-rostered, but if you're looking to stream Oliver Ekman-Larsson this week and he's available in your league, I think that it's a decent opportunity, or a good opportunity, rather, with the top line deployment for everything. From the Washington Capitals, Ovechkin is injured, and Joe Snively is playing on that first line. At least Daily Faceoff is telling us this.
Joe Snively, dude.
Yeah, it's a great
shout
name.
Joe Snively, he had to live his whole life with that name and still made the NHL.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Avoiding bullies like it's the Matrix. Anyways, he's got a season ranking of 833. Rostered in 0% of leagues. He's on their first forward line, as we're saying. No power play time, no PK time. Also, like Connor Sheary, season ranking of 345, rostered in 2% of leagues. He's on that second forward line, second power play unit, with no PK time. Finally, Daniel Sprong, 363, season ranking, rostered in 1% of leagues. He's on that second forward line, no power play time, no PK time. Sprong just plays a bit more of a physical game, still has a good chance or a good opportunity to get points playing alongside Sheary and Backstrom. So I like Daniel Sprong, you know, get some opportunity for some hits as well.
Yeah, what about Martin Ferravi, Charlie? You recommended him.
I did write him down
for the past few weeks, and you've got him again. What do you think about Martin Ferravi?
Martin Ferravi is strictly a deployment play. He's not exactly an offensive specialist by any means. He's been playing some great defensive minutes for the Washington Capitals. I know that his underlying numbers are very impressive, but his season ranking of 264, rostered in 6% of leagues, first defensive line deployment, no power play time, second PK time. You can't go wrong with that, in all honesty.
Yeah, he's like... maybe take a look at him if you can't get Esa Lindell. He's a diet Esa Lindell.
Very much so.
Okay, let's move over to the stream strategy. So the NHL has returned following the brief All-Star weekend break, which means we are powering up again. This is an unusual week, so there are four teams that don't play any games. And otherwise, the schedule is pretty even between the start and the end of the week. So we've selected a number of teams that have ideal streaming schedules for the start of the week between Monday and Thursday, and some ideal players from those teams.
Yeah.
Charlie, who do you got?
So the stream strategy that I have set up for the Monday to Thursday part of this week is I'm going to be looking at some Carolina streamers for that Monday and Tuesday back-to-back. Jesper Faust and Jordan Martinook are probably going to be the two guys that I'm looking at on that team. Can hold them till Thursday. They have the off night Thursday night, and you get plus three games to your schedule for one streamer from them. I'm also going to be looking at the Edmonton Oilers for their Tuesday to Wednesday back-to-back. Probably just going to be Kyler Yamamoto that I'm taking a look at, because I know that Bouchard has been picked up and been held in a majority of the leagues that I am in. It's going to be plus two games to the schedule from Kyler Yamamoto, because I likely will not hold on to him after the Tuesday-Wednesday back-to-back. Finally, I'm definitely going to be looking at some streamers from the Ottawa Senators. specifically Tim Stützle and Alex Formanton. Both of them have some great deployment this week, and they've been playing very well recently. If you pick up both of these guys and hold on to them, your plus minus might take a huge hit, but that is plus 10 games to your schedule for two streamers this week. And assuming they don't get injured or get COVID-19, that plus 10 games, that's going to give you a huge advantage in peripheral categories and at least a chance to get points. That is my stream strategy for this week, though.
So I have reached my final form in our five-person keeper league with 10 teams. So 10 man, might actually be 12. I don't even really know. I think that's only 10. 10 man. 10 managers, 10 teams. We get to keep five players per season. And this is what we're looking at, folks. This year I traded for Pacioretty, Kane, Kopp, Dubois. Traded for Gerrard. Traded for Rust. Traded for Bergeron. Traded for Sorokin, Leonard.
You made a lot of moves.
Rantanen and Marner from before. Drafted Bobrovsky. Had Robertson from a keeper.
Yeah.
Drafted Martinez, dropped and then traded for him. Yeah, I had Letang as a keeper. Carlson was a keeper. Drafted Hintz. It's so I don't have room on this roster to stream anymore.
No, you're full up, but that's fine because you got a strong position at the top, right?
Exactly. It's fine because I'm in first place for the regular season at the moment. The top four is a pretty tight knit. It's not as spread out in the good fantasy hockey league, but I'm confident that this, because of how skewed it is, however, between top and bottom in terms of playoff positions, I'm quite confident that this roster will get me into the playoffs regardless of how often I can stream in and win those extra categories. I don't really need to do that anymore. I think I can just sort of coast in, and this roster is playoff optimized. So there is not a single game in the entirety of the 3-week playoffs where I will not have one of these guys, will have one of these guys on the bench. It's planned and calculated. You can use our ultimate playoff review that we released 2 weeks ago, and there's a big long post on it on Reddit r/fantasyhockey. It's quite useful. Just essentially use that to get an understanding of the schedule. Write out a 5-day schedule. You can do it in Excel and then write down your team on the days that they're playing. And then you can get an understanding of how many roster slots are available and how many are not being used optimally. And then you kind of get an understanding of, okay, I need to get rid of this guy and this guy. Like Charlie, that would not be true for this roster if I still had Trocheck and Jesper Bratt. But I traded Trocheck and Jesper Bratt with you 2-for-2 for Dubois and Kopp.
That's correct.
So on my fantasy stream strategy, I realized, okay, well, I don't have any value for Bratt and Trocheck because they're going to be on more benches than actually playing.
Yeah.
So just because of that, got to bring in some guys. And I had a list of teams that I had figured out were ideal. And yeah. Winnipeg was one of them. So guys like Kyle Connor are too expensive. Guys like Nick Ehlers were tough to acquire. Yeah. Even though he's been underperforming so far this season and his rank is like in the 200s. So it's quite attractive. Like,
yeah.
Or there seems like you could be able to finagle some sort of trade. Not so in this league. So just kind of went with the discount options with you, and we've had some nice trades and we deal well. So you should benefit from that Bratt trade as well.
Yeah, for sure. No complaints. I have no regrets about that trade. I'm looking forward only here.
And in the good fantasy hockey league, I picked up Timmy Stützle last week.
Oh no.
Not really looking to do too much. I have Nico Hischier as well from a few weeks ago. I was actually looking to drop him. Pretty much Boone Jenner is my streamer spot right now. Boone Jenner is at that level. and Nico Hischier and Stutzler are at that level, and I already spent last week's pickups picking them up. And last week was this week, so it's like, I was just prepping. Anyways, I'm already ready for my stream, pretty much. We'll just play by ear and see where I can sneak a few extra games in.
Yeah, I didn't realize at the start of last week that we... like, your pickups for this week include the whole 2 weeks that this one fantasy week encompasses. So I already used 4 of my 6 pickups. I only have 2 left, and we'll have to see how the rest of the week goes, but shouldn't be a problem. All right, I think that's going to be it from us.